Hi there. We are today looking at the cost of living crisis and the impact that's having currently on employees in the workplace, and going to talk about some ways that we can support our employees through this period, through looking at reward and recognition schemes, and just looking at something that is, I think, challenging many businesses right now. So great to be joined again today by Andrew. Hello there.
Hey Kelly, good to see you again. Thank you for letting me come back onto the webinar. Appreciate
No
it.
worries. Good to have you. Good to have you. So yeah, I think we're going to kick off by sort of looking at, the cost of living crisis and where we're at with that today. What, I suppose it'd be interesting before we start to get your view, Andrew, in terms of, is it something that this kind of on your agenda, or that you're being challenged with yourself, or you're hearing about a lot?
Yes, it's on. I mean, it's on the global agenda. I don't think there's any country that doesn't have inflation or cost of living issues that are going on. Especially, I mean, we have people all over the world, and one of the biggest issues is, I mean, we are in dollars. Our companies in the U.S. We're in dollars. We have people all over the world, and sometimes there are issues with the dollar is fluctuating very quickly, and what my salary based on dollars isn't working for me. I need to peg it to the pound, or I need to peg it to the euro, or something else. And that's been a huge discussion over the last, I'd say, 12 months, because it is changing. Like some of these countries are changing weekly. You're seeing huge fluctuations, and the cost of living locally is going up, but also the cost of what you're getting paid might be more, might be less, depending on the week. So it's crazy.
Okay, absolutely. So, just before we do kick off, because I think that you're gonna sort of ask me a few questions on the subject. If anybody has any questions for either Andrew or myself, then please do just drop them in the comments, and we will address those as we go through, or we'll definitely give the floor to you guys at the end if there's any additional questions or anything anybody wants us to kind of cover. So please do, as I said, questions or comments in the comments section, and we will get to those throughout.
Perfect. So yeah, these were some questions that we kind of came up with throughout the week. So I mean, one of the key things was, what is the cost of living crisis? And obviously, inflation is on everyone's mind all over the world. But like, what is this crisis, and why do employers need to support their employees during this time? Why is this important?
Okay, so I think and you've touched on it already. I think it's affecting everybody. So the cost of living crisis, I think we've seen a number of things that have driven us and created the situation that we're in now. So we obviously had the pandemic, which was had a major impact on the economy, on people, on goods, supplies, service, etc. We've had Brexit, which has obviously disrupted as well. We've had the war in Ukraine, which is another disruptor. And so it's a perfect storm, I suppose, in terms of just a sequence of events has led us to being a situation where the cost of living is increasing. It's becoming increasingly more expensive to buy food, to heat our homes, to run our cars. And so everybody is facing a situation now where the cost of goods and services have increased. Our salaries on the whole haven't matched that increase, and therefore we're in a situation where people don't have as much disposable income, or worse, do not have money to be able to meet their bills and and pay for basics like food and water and heating. And I think the reason, why we need to care about that as employers and as HR professionals is because people, when they are struggling financially or worried about their financial situation, or can't feed their family or pay for heating, etc., become increasingly stressed and anxious and worried, and that will impact people. And I don't think we can take the view, a very old-fashioned view now, of, oh, you must leave your personal problems at the door when you come to work, because people just can't do that. So we need to care about this, because it will be directly impacting a lot of our workforce, and that will impact on on them in terms of their wellness, their ability to show up to work. You know, there's millions of things that, you know, could be happening within our workforce. I think in terms of the stress, the anxiety, they may be working a second job, yeah. So exhaustion. And I think we can't, as employers, ignore the impact that this is going to have on our workforce.
No, those are that covers a lot of ground for us to discuss. What are the specific impacts this is having, like on employees and employers, and on the employee-employer relationship, I suppose, too?
Yeah, and I think it's important, isn't it, to acknowledge that, you know, that it's impacting both sides of that relationship. Because whilst, you know, we've just talked there about how it's impacting individuals, it's also impacting business owners, because, you know, most business owners will be running premises or, you know, needing supplies, relying on services to deliver their product, their service, and their costs are going to be going up as well. So they're dealing with having to, you know, have an increased cost of running a business with having a workforce who are struggling as well to, you know, and wanting probably more money because of that. So, yeah, the impact is on both sides. And I think, you know, also people don't naturally tend to like to talk about money or concerns about money and the stresses that that's causing. So I think as employers, we can't also just assume that because our employees aren't talking about it, they're not impacted or affected by it. So I think, you know, looking at it from both sides of that relationship, there is definitely challenges and impacts, you know, on both those employer sides as well, that will be creating challenges within the workplace.
Yeah, no, I hear you. I mean, we've seen, we've raised our costs for customers, but not close to the cost, to our own costs going up.
Yeah.
And obviously we're selling software. I can't imagine if we were selling physical goods, food, things that dealt with a much more complex supply chain we're lucky we, you know, deal with Microsoft Azure servers and with our developers, and that's our whole supply chain, so it makes things easier. But I can't imagine the complexities of dealing with some of these other businesses, especially with the situation in Ukraine, like you mentioned, and, you know, needing grain or things like that. One of the things that we had discussed before, but what is a reward and recognitions program?
Okay, so when we talk about and how this relates to the cost of living crisis and the impact it's having, so I think the number one thing that people are looking for right now is ways that they can be supported, you know, in right now, so financially or from a well-being point of view. So when we talk about reward and recognition, we look at that as part of the employee life cycle. So people we know, to in order to feel engaged, need to feel valued for you know, the value and their contribution. And the best way to obviously feel valued is to recognize the value add and reward the value that the employee is given. And it's gone far beyond salary. So as we know, money's a hygiene factor. So money won't motivate, but obviously money is needed, and more than ever money's needed. So we can't not think about the salary point, like element of reward and recognition. It's very important that we consider that. But when I talk about reward and recognition, I'm talking about, you know, that bigger piece around other benefits. So, you know, how much holiday entitlement we're giving, what kind of sick pay, maternity pay, paternity pay, other rewards around, you know, discount gym membership, off of, you know, maybe vouchers for discounts off of, you know, products, etc. So looking at how are we recognizing and rewarding our people. So recognizing them for the work and the contribution they're making, recognizing them right now for the fact that they could be struggling financially. So what are we doing to support and help them? Because if we have got a good reward and recognition system in place, we are then supporting our people to be well, to be valued, to be motivated, which will have a positive impact on business. So it's a win-win situation. So that full reward and recognition program is kind of everything from salaries, benefits, incentives, and well-being.
How do you tailor that to specific people? Because you're talking about a lot of different levers to pull. I mean, I guess you'd have to know the employee pretty well. So like if you're onboarding a new employee, how do you know which one of these would motivate them? Like, how do you figure that out in the recruiting process?
Okay, so it's quite hard for obviously, well, it's not hard, but in terms of through the recruitment process. So one thing I try and encourage employers to do, if possible, is to have have some flexibility within their reward and recognition programs. So there are great platforms now that you can use where the employee gets to pick, their rewards. So if there is an allowance, that they get so much of an allowance that they can spend on this stuff, then they get to pick. And there's platforms there whether they use it for a gym membership or offer, shopping like groceries or, for high street shopping vouchers. There's also schemes that you can implement which allow you to buy and sell annual leave. So if you need more, if you don't want all your annual leave, and then you can sell some to obviously, and in effect, get the money back for that. So I think it's about having flexibility and variety within your reward and recognition programs. And the best way to kind of ensure that you're, because it's only a benefit if it benefits the people, you're offering benefits that are actually benefits, is by asking your people. So, if you're doing employee surveys, or if you have like focus groups in the organization, sort of find out from people what is it that you would see as a benefit? What kind of benefits would you like to see within the organization? And then, where possible, being able to offer that variety so that people get to some choice in, the benefits that really benefit them. Another great sort of platform or initiative is using employee assistance programs. So they're really cost-effective ways to give more benefits and support to your people. So through an EAP, employees will often have access to support groups or counselling, discounted medical treatment, etc. So things that will really have a an impact right now when money's tight, they're great ways to introduce some, some additional support and benefits to your workforce without having to necessarily just, increase salary.
Okay. So how does that link to salary as well? So like, how do you figure out a way to link this in? Because I mean, if an employee is looking, if somebody's looking for a job or somebody's inside of a job, salary is obviously like number one. How do you link these two?
Exactly. So salary is going to be like really, I mean, it's always important, but I think more than ever right now because people need money. And, so salary is important. So I think, there's lots of tools out there that you can use to do some salary benchmarking. I think it's about having a salary structure within the business that is fair and transparent. So being really sort of clear on what roles within your business. So what we do with clients, for instance, is we look at introducing bandings, like salary banding. So we'll say like there's going to be six bandings, for instance, depending on the size of the business. And these are the salaries within each of these bands. So then we'll look at the roles and say, okay, well, this role, due to the skill, experience, like level of technique required to perform that role, fits into this band. And then you sort of put each of your roles into different bands, and then you show obviously the salary levels for each of those bands. So people are really clear that when they take on a role, they understand what the salary is for that role, and they also understand what kind of roles and competencies and skills are needed to be able to progress through those salary bandings. So I think it's really important that people feel they're being well rewarded and paid for the role that they're doing. So I always encourage transparency and structure around your salary bandings, because that does form part of your reward and recognition program. And then looking at that, okay, so then outside of that, what are the ways are we going to reward and recognize our people through benefits platforms, incentives, etc., bonuses? And then one thing I always encourage employers to do as well is look at then sort of highlighting to people what that total reward looks like. So if you're, in this position within the organization, your salary will be X, your bonus or your benefits will be XYZ, and your total reward equals this. So people understand, because sometimes we take for granted that people just know like what they're entitled to or what they receive or how much that equates to. And quite often that isn't the case. And, we've implemented it at HR Star. So we do total benefits, reward and benefit statements, so people can understand what that full package looks like to them. And what they receive for being an employee at HR Star. Because, as I say, I think we have to look at, we do have to take salary into consideration because it's a really important part of that reward and recognition piece.
No, it's I'd say it's always the central piece, and then everything else you can put around it. It is surprising. There are times that you meet I mean, obviously this is more common in the US where healthcare and health benefits are so important because it's really make or break the salary. So I do notice it a lot more in the US than I do in other European countries or Europe or other countries where we offer, health insurance. People are kind of like, oh, that's a nice benefit for me. We're in the US, it's like that's the second question in the interviews. Like, so what are the health benefits look like for us? So how if you're an employer that doesn't have a recognition and rewards program, you could call me one of those employers, let's say. How should we go about implementing a program like this?
Okay, so I think you need to think about obviously what sort of investment you want to make in this. So what money have you got available to invest in your program? What do you want your program to achieve? So do you want it to be around rewarding achievement through if you're a target based, KPI driven organization, and we're going to, introduce bonuses based on people achieving those targets and KPIs. Do I want my reward and recognition system to also include my well-being? So do I want to make sure that through reward and recognition, I'm giving, say, a well-being allowance or access to platforms that enable people to, have their well-being needs addressed as well. So I think a starting point is looking at all your options. So, look at everything that you could implement. And then think, right, what are my priorities? And the best way to then, as I've already touched on, to decide is by asking your people. So do a survey or do focus groups or ask your people what benefits do they need and want? Because depending on where they are in their own sort of life cycle, their age, that everyone, like each employee will have a different lens that you need to look at it. So whether it's, through new starters coming into the business at entry level, or whether it's more mature people, it's people with families, what do they need? Because some people may value flexibility in working patterns far more than gym membership, but others may not be fussed about the flexibility, but they'd love a bit of gym membership, so, or discounted vouchers for food or retail, etc. So I think ask your people what they need and want. Look at all the options available to you and then prioritize from there. And then I think the most then important thing is communicating, whilst you implement that, the what you're doing and why and how it works, and ensuring that it's fair and consistent and open to everybody. So but like I'll always come back to communication, and I'll always come back to asking your people, because you could, think, oh, I know what I'm going to do. I'm going to give everybody, XYZ benefits, and then you roll it out and it's like, well, actually, I don't think that is a benefit, or I'm not fussed about that. Whereas, you ask the people, and like I say, if you can then have a bit of variety in your reward and recognition program, so that you can tailor, everyone can kind of have a bit of choice in the benefits that they have, then that will also go really far in having a positive impact.
How do you, I don't know how many companies you work with that have employees like in a lot of different countries, but how do they do this? How do they adjust this based off of geography as well?
Again, yeah. So we're predominantly working with businesses based in the UK. So it's, I suppose in that respect, it's easier because it's very similar. But no, we do have some clients based in the US. So again, I think it's looking at what's available, obviously within the area. Again, asking the people like what they need and want, and just taking that same approach. I think taking the same approach to like reviewing and researching, I think just then looking at what feedback and results you get from that to really influence and impact what you then do in terms of those reward and recognitions.
Okay, no, that's good to know. And what, I mean, what is the, as far as like the cost of living crisis and all this stuff is, what have you seen the companies, how are they dealing with this beyond sort of these programs? Like, how are companies able to handle, because I mean, obviously we've heard about a lot of layoffs where companies have said, well, our business isn't going up, so we're going to lay people off. But the people that are staying on, I mean, they are dealing with this. What is the typical increase? I mean, are people going with the increase in inflation? Are they sort of how are companies dealing with this?
So it's a conversation I'm having with the majority of our clients at the moment. I think because typically most clients and businesses have a financial year from April. So they're looking at, salary reviews around this time of the year. And they're very aware that they're going to have to do something more than normal because of the expectation. And just because of obviously, the inflation and how much it is costing to live. So we also have the national minimum wage increasing, and it's the most significant increase this year than we've seen in many years, 9 point something%. So whilst I've not seen any employers yet match inflation, they are going a lot higher. So I think on average we would normally see around 3, 4, 5% salary increase. Like we're seeing like 5% upwards, like 5, 6, 7, 8%. So yeah, I think that's coupled with people really looking at numbers, like their staff numbers, in terms of, do we need to slim down the numbers to be able to
Yeah.
afford the increase in salaries across the board. So it's a challenging time, it really is.
Do companies ever tie? I know a couple people that have negotiated recently contracts tied to inflation, one of the PCI inflation numbers. I mean, obviously that happens with rent in most countries. It's tied to PCI, but is that a normal practice? I heard about it from two people recently, and I was frankly surprised. I don't know if it was something locally here, but I was wondering
No,
if
it's
you'd
not
heard of
something
anyone
I
doing
see.
that.
So the norm that we see here is that businesses will say that they'll do an annual salary review, but that no salary increase is ever guaranteed, and it's always at the discretion of the company and dependent on company performance. So it's, yeah, I haven't seen any of that going on here.
Yeah, it's. I was surprised because I was thinking, well, if you did that across, I mean, obviously these guys were more senior people, but if you did that across the board, you're risking that, you need to be able to increase your prices basically at the same
And I
level
think, like
every
you
year.
said earlier, like a lot of businesses are increasing their prices, but nowhere near in terms of the amount it's increased for the business to be able to provide that service or product. So they're
Yeah.
still, yeah, falling behind. And so then having to obviously, as a business, look at increasing salaries as well, like it's tough. And I think, then, like you said, we're seeing layoffs, and I'm not surprised. I think businesses just can't afford to keep, like a large number of the workforce on if their costs of running the business are ever really increasing.
Yeah, no, it's something that we have been dealing with because I mean, especially in tech, salaries went up quite a bit over the last few years. It didn't keep up with price increase. I mean, if you try and pass a 25% price increase to your customer after like 2 years of not increasing your prices, they'll think you're crazy and they'll start looking for somebody else. So it's definitely it's a difficult challenge. You have this balance where. We increased our price 10% this year, and we had to figure out a number that was like, okay, what would be acceptable inside of the inflation story that people would feel comfortable with this, but at the same time would at least get us close to where our costs were getting. We didn't even get close to our costs, but we didn't churn a lot of customers from it, but it was a really delicate balance to go between, and then figuring out how to pass that off to your employees and making sure,
And
looking from senior down.
I think employees understand, don't they, at the moment that it's really tough and that, prices are increasing for everybody. And I'm sure there's many employees who would obviously rather be in a role with maybe not a salary increase than not have a job at all. But
Yeah.
it's again, like you say, that delicate balance, isn't it, of ensuring that we are acknowledging that our workforce will be facing these challenges that the cost of living crisis, are presenting, and that we need to be acknowledging with them what, as a business, we're doing about that, and to be able to support them through it.
Yeah. And I mean, even on top of it, taxes, things like that. I mean, in a lot of places, I think in the UK, you guys have had a lot of increase in tax as well. And in other countries, it's one of those like hidden things that even if you put someone's salary there, all of a sudden it's still less. We were talking to somebody in Germany the other day that we were negotiating their salary. And we sent over their like the sort of printout of what it would all look like. And he was like, wow. He's like, something must have happened because I'm getting way more taken out in this than I was before. He had relocated a couple years ago, but he said that it seems like it had increased. And I don't know. It's one of those things that eats out of the overall budget of a family.
Yeah, absolutely. Which is why I think if you then can add other, ways to help, through like some of the things we've talked about today in terms of discounts or, other ways to add to that, just will
A lot
really
of these
help.
have tax. A lot of these are like pre-tax too. I mean, I know I was talking to somebody in Portugal a few days ago, and there was a lot of things around vouchers and waivers, especially around like education, food, that they get pre-tax, and it's advantageous for the company. I don't know if it's the same in the UK or in other
Yeah,
countries.
reduce their core salary sacrifices. So we do, we can offer some, salary sacrifice benefits, to employees. So yeah, again, it's a help both sides of that relationship, employees, employers. And I think, there's something else that one of our clients have just started using called Wage Stream, and it's a software that you can link it to your payroll and your time and attendance rota. So our client who used it actually works in hospitality, and you can get an advance on your salary. So for instance, if you're paid monthly and you've worked 2 weeks in that month already, you can drill down some of that salary before payday of the hours that you've already worked. So it's money that you've already earned, but you were due to be paid at the end of the month. But you can, through this wage stream, this software, drill down some of that money sooner. So there's no deficit and you're only drilling down money that you've already earned, but it just means you get access to
Interesting.
some money before payday, which I thought was actually a really good sort of piece of software and system to introduce, because it might just be, right now people just need access to cash a bit quicker.
Yeah.
So yeah,
I mean, I've heard of that in the US. There's payday loans that you can get paid upfront, especially for people that have lower incomes, where it's really not enough that they need to get paid upfront. And I know they do that. I've never heard of Wage Stream. I'll take a look at that. I mean, obviously, in Europe, people do like monthly payments in Europe, so it goes longer, where in the US, it's only every 2 weeks. But
So
that's
we pay,
interesting.
most do monthly here. So it's just, so in hospitality, this is like I said, the client who's using it, they work in hospitality, and they're seeing that, especially their I suppose younger workforce who just need access to cash a bit quicker,
Yeah.
they'll do a couple of weeks work and they'll drill down and take some of that money before payday. And it's really that, and the employees are just seeing this as such a benefit. They're really chuffed with it. So I think we might see more and more stuff like that being introduced, just to try and help our workforces, and I think because in that system, in circumstance, you're not drilling down on any money that you haven't earned. So you've earned this money. You're just, so it's not as if you're getting, an advance on your salary. So yeah, I think anything like that we can do to just show that our employees, that we understand that it's tough for them right now and we're doing what we can to help them, will go a really long way.
Yeah, no, it's that's interesting. I'm gonna look this company up. I hadn't heard of it before. All right, Kelly. Well, I appreciate all the time. I see we didn't have any comments, but I appreciate all the time, and this was an interesting
You too.
discussion. So thank you very
Yeah,
much.
thanks
We'll
ever
see you
so
next
much.
time.
Yeah, see you next time.